Hello everyone. So in today's class, that is chapter 4, we look at software project management methodologies. My name is Anuj Dalal and I'll take you through this interesting journey. So let us look at the agenda that we will be covering for today's chapter. We start with the project management methodology. Then we look at how do you choose the right methodology for your particular project. Then we look at the list of different methodologies and there are, believe me, multiple different methodologies. You can have one over the other, everyone would have their own benefits, but it's not that one size fits all. Things are dependent upon the nature of the project, the kind of complexity involved, the risk, the time, the cost, etc., etc. So we look at the different methods here. We start with the waterfall model. We also then deep dive into the agile framework. And within the agile framework, there are multiple different methods like Scrum, Kanban, Scrumban. That's a new thing that you might not have heard. Extreme programming, adaptive project framework, lean methodology, so it comes from the manufacturing framework, also applicable in the software project arena, critical path methodology, and there is something called as RAD, that is rapid application development. It is absolutely interesting to know all of these, and I'll take you through the journey of each of these. We analyze situations where one can be used, what are the pros and cons of one over the other, in which situations should one methodology be preferred over the other, and more importantly, can there be situations where you could have a combination of these so that the project gets delivered in the manner it is supposed to be. So let's start with the project management methodology. So there are multiple different ways in which a project can be delivered. And then there are multiple different attributes of a particular project. The most important ones are cost and time. The different ways in which the project can be delivered, this centers around something called as the project management framework or the project management methodology. Multiple different project method methodology applies to different principles, different themes, different frameworks. There could be different processes and standards that help to structure the way in which a project can get delivered. So in the last class, we looked at, say, a Big Bang approach versus a phased approach versus a templatized approach. But these are more of project execution methods. What we here will look at would be project management methodologies. So these differ from execution in the form that execution actually takes place where the entire project gets delivered. Whether this, while in this case, the project management methodology focuses in depth around the approach that we need to take while delivering a project. So project manager obviously plays a key role in any of these formats, but more importantly, which is the approach that needs to be taken is something that the organization needs to decide. Again, there is no one size that fits all. There is no thumb rule which says that one particular project can be delivered only with one particular method. It depends upon multiple different factors. And it's not that one method is right or wrong. Every method will have its own merits and demerits. It's important to look at each of the method holistically and the kind of advantages that each provides. These are time-tested methods. It's not that something has come up very recently and is getting experimented. It's not like these. All of these techniques have been practiced by different teams. practiced in different countries across different geographies. So it's not specifically limited only to one set of country or to one territory as such. This has been in the market, which has been tested and has been implemented and successfully rolled out in multiple different countries. As I mentioned, while there are multiple different methodologies, there is nothing called as a right or there is nothing called as a perfect methodology. It depends upon what exactly is your nature of business. It depends upon what your priorities are. And ultimately, the best methodology is what that makes sense for you. It's like going to buy a shirt, right? People have different tastes and there are different things available. So maybe the fabric is different, maybe the stitch is different, maybe the styling is different. So it's not to say that there is one style that is incorrect or one size that is wrong. It depends upon people's own liking. Now, if we relate this example to IT, it says that it doesn't depend upon the mood as such, but then it depends upon the nature of business. The nature of business, the nature of work, the nature of project will depend upon which methodology suits better. If, say, the nature of work entails something that changes drastically or which changes rapidly over time, then there are different frameworks to be deployed. If things you feel would more or less remain constant, if you know the business requirements at first, which are not bound to change, then there are different methodologies preferred. Also, there are different frame of mind that a person carries when deploying a project using these different methodologies. In some cases, people need to be adaptable to change, where, say, the external world gets changed at a very rapid pace, or the internal environment, which consists of internal stakeholders, stakeholder expectations, or even the internal requirements getting changed. So in these cases, things need to be more adaptable. Things need to be more flexible, more agile to incorporate the change that happens in the external environment and the internal environment. In case where things are more static, where there is more predictable nature of work, it's and at these levels where there are different methods preferred. So a project management methodology is basically a framework that helps you to manage a project in a particular way. And this particular way would be the best way in which the project has to be delivered and managed. There are different methodologies, as I just mentioned. One of the key reasons for multiple methodologies is that no two projects are the same, right? So just like in the illustration, in the example that I mentioned, no two people are the same and hence their liking might be different. Similarly, no two projects are also the same. So maybe you would have, say, one project that is more inclined towards, say, the functional aspect of it or the financial aspect of it. There could be one project which looks at optimization of inventory. There is one a project that looks at harnessing the consumer behavior. There is one which looks at, say, deploying machine learning models to predict a more futuristic outcome. So there are multiple different projects, and then each would have their own merits and demerits in terms of choosing which is the right methodology. Each will have their own goals, there'll be own KPIs, key performance indicators, and there'll be key performance areas that would be benchmarked. And the production methods, so different types of industries. Yes, so this is also very critical. You would see one particular methodology being very popular for one segment. So say, for example, we look at, say, the manufacturing industry. where there is one particular methodology, like say the Six Sigma, which is very popular, or maybe you would have heard terms like Kanban or things like just-in-time system. Japanese manufacturer Toyota is known for things like lean manufacturing, correct? So a particular segment of the industry, say the manufacturing vertical, relies very heavily on one particular methodology. Whereas another industry segment, so maybe someone who is doing, say, a software deployment, may look at a different framework. So the whole point is that because the projects are different in its own nature, so say a inventory management system, where say a car owner needs to understand in what time does the inventory get utilized, they might use something called as a just-in-time inventory, right? So that to minimize the losses of inventory carrying costs. Whereas in case of a paints industry, where the utilization of the particular raw material is absolutely important, they might look at lean manufacturing, right? So as I said, there is no one size that fits all. There is no one particular thumb rule saying that only this particular methodology might be used for one particular segment. But it depends upon the business goals, the end outcomes that need to be achieved, and the different industry segment. So there is no one size fit all. What works well for one type of industry segment might be absolutely a nightmare for other. It could be in terms of the industry segment, it could be in terms of the nature of work, it could be in terms of the team size or the kind of skill that a team carries. So all these factors put together would actually determine the best way forward. Different project management methodologies are being repurposed, adapted to different industries, and are also tweaked to fit that specific use case. As I gave the example of, say, the manufacturing companies that started with, say, things like lean manufacturing, or there were different processes involved like Six Sigma. So these might be more specific to the industry segment, but then these principles are also used and are more adapted and then are tweaked to, say, fit the IT arena. So that's where you look at things like Kanban also getting a lot of popularity and having a high deployment base even for IT projects. So earlier, the Kanban philosophy, or say the JIT system, or the Six Sigma, etc., etc., was limited only to one particular segment. But then people over years would have figured out, saying that if it works well in one particular industry segment, surely the same methodology can be tweaked to customize another industry, and as per the nature of work, it could be tweaked. Because of these methodologies, the estimation models also get changed. Say the way in which you value your inventory, correct? So inventory obviously has something called as an inventory carrying cost. So it is nothing but the cost that is used to ensure that the inventory is valued at the right price, the time and the effort that is spent on managing that inventory forms a part of the inventory management cost or the inventory carrying cost. Now, this particular methodology of, say, managing the inventory carrying cost might be tweaked or might be changed as per the industry segment. So no longer it is only applicable to the manufacturing space, but it could be changed to ensure that the same gets applied to the IT arena. So say in the IT arena, things like resource utilization might be more important. Things like having the bench strength of resources and how do you put those resources to use might be something which will be more important as compared to, say, just-in-time inventory or an inventory carrying cost. So if you extend that particular philosophy, At a high level, it makes sense. And that is the reason why I mentioned that one type of system, if used, or one type of methodology, if used for one particular segment, which might work really well, but it could be like an actual nightmare for the other industry segment if it is not properly customized. Because of these methodologies, the estimation models also get changed, which directly affects the project outcomes. So coming back to the discussion where we say, how does the project management methodology impact the overall cost assessment? So every method has the way in which the efforts have to get estimated. Say if it is a just-in-time inventory versus a Kanban, there is a different way in which the effort estimation is carried out, and hence the implication on the overall estimates of a project. Some of the key considerations that help to choose the methodology would be, first and the most important, is the cost and the budget. What sort of budget is available? Different methods have different cost structures. Some might have a higher initial cost followed by lower recurring costs. Some might have, say, equal number of costs spread across different time intervals. Some might want to start small and the cost would keep spiraling as the project goes on. So important view from a management perspective, also from the project manager perspective and the overall business owner's perspective, is a view on the cost and the budget. So the first question that is of utmost importance is, what is the sort of budget that is available? And depending upon that, the methodology can be selected. Next is the team size. Now this also is one of the critical parameters to decide the project methodology. What is the team size? How many people are involved? Are the people involved actually on the live project, or there are people who are put on the bench as a reserved strength? Do the team have the right set of skill set? Are there freshers in the team as compared to experienced people in the team? Do they have the same kind of knowledge base? Do they work well in a collaborative environment? And the third important thing is the ability to take risks. If there is a huge project, is there a huge risk involved which will have a big impact, say, on the timelines, on the cost, on the overall financial viability? So then the risk and the reward ratio has to be studied so as to have a more appealable outcome. Projects which are highly critical in nature would entail one particular way in which they are executed, because you might want to reduce the risk because of the high criticality. On the other hand, projects which need to be delivered, say, really fast, that's where you might want to take certain risks. And these are not risks as such, these are more as calculated contingency that need to be planned. So wherever there is contingency, it has to be planned and maybe recorded as part of the risk. Flexibility. Is there room to adapt to change? Is the product or the project liable to dynamic change? And if there is a change that happens in this environment, how fast or how soon can the change be incorporated in the project plan, so that the project is deployed and delivered in a more timely fashion, and it solves, more importantly, the outcomes that it was envisioned to do? A view on the timeline. How much time is required to deliver? Maybe the project is deployed in a phased manner. Maybe it is deployed in a big bang manner. But the more important thing is, how long does it take for a project to get deployed? Surely there could be multiple different ways in which it can be deployed. Things like, say, using agile framework or using, say, daily stand-up meeting for Scrum. But then using all of these, is the project being delivered in the right time frame? Are the timelines being met so that the end objectives of business are met within the timelines that were envisioned? And more important to look at is the client and the stakeholder interaction. How involved is not just the software vendor who is making this project run, but more importantly, what is the interest level from the business owners? Are they having the same kind of inputs, or are they part of review meetings? Are they part of steering committee meetings to ensure that the project is taking the shape and form it was supposed to do? So a continuous dialogue, a continuous review process, a feedback loop. So these are some of the ways in which stakeholders can be involved and engaged. But it is absolutely important for stakeholders on both sides to get involved so as to deliver the right kind of results. And there are different kinds of project methodologies that I was referring to. And we will do a deep dive into all of these. We will start with the waterfall model, which is by far the most popular model. We will then look at agile methodology. We look at Scrum, which is interestingly more popular in the IT framework. We will look at Kanban, which started in manufacturing and now is getting extended to IT and projects. We would also look at Scrumban, which is an interesting term, and it's actually a combination of Scrum and Kanban. Later, we will look at something called as extreme programming, that is XP, and how does extreme programming help or when is it preferred? We will then look at adaptive project framework or the APF. We look at lean manufacturing, again a concept that comes from manufacturing domain and then widely getting accepted in the IT domain. We look at critical path method, and lastly we look at the rapid application development. So we look at all these 10 different project management methodologies, and I'm sure this is going to be a lot interesting. So let's jump on to this. Okay, let us now look at the waterfall methodology. Waterfall methodology is the most popular framework, and it is a traditional approach to project management. In this, there are tasks and different phases that are completed in a linear fashion. It is actually sequential, which means each stage of the project must be completed before the next phase starts. And as the name suggests, the progress flows in one direction, just like a waterfall. So as you would see on your screen, there are different phases, correct? So first is, say, the requirement gathering phase. In this, the requirements are understood from the business owners, from the functional owners. Then comes the analysis phase. So in this, the requirements get analyzed by, say, the domain consultants, by the functional consultants. These are then broken down into low-level design parameters, which get worked around by the design experts, the solution architects. And then it's the actual construction, or so a better word for construction is the actual coding work that happens. Once the work happens, it's then that testing happens, that is testing is rigorous testing is done on a similar platform. And then the deployment happens and the maintenance happens. So if you look at this particular framework or this particular methodology, each phase is one after the other. You start with the requirement gathering, then is analysis, then is design, construction. So everything happens sequentially, one after the other. You cannot have construction and say requirement gathering happening at the same time. Similarly, you cannot have say testing and analysis happening at the same time, because everything happens sequentially, hence the name waterfall. The stages in this particular method are, first it starts with requirement, as I explained. This is the most critical phase, because once the project gets delivered, after that in the project kickoff, there is a phase and a timeline set for gathering the requirements. And the output of this is called as a BRD document, that is a business requirement document. After this particular document is prepared, there is a sign-off taken from both the stakeholders, one who is the business owner and one who is the software developer. Then the software developer works on the analysis. After that, the actual design work starts, assuming that the project gets divided into multiple different phases, or if it is a single big bang approach, then how the functionality has to be coded is the actual design phase. Once the design is envisioned, saying that you need to use particular framework, say you need to code in a particular coding language, it's then that the low level design actually starts getting implemented. So this is the construction phase. Once the code is ready, the code is then rigorously tested, as I said, and there could be multiple different bug fixes that could arise, and there are different testing tools also utilized, things like say manual testing, things like functional testing, things like stress testing, things like load testing, etc., etc., so as to know whether the functionality performs as it was expected. And once this is tested, it is then deployed in something called as a UAT environment, that is a user acceptance testing. Once it is deployed in a UAT, then it gets rolled out to the production environment. And after the production rollout happens, that's where the maintenance phase of the project starts. So if you look at this, these are all different stages, right from stage 1 to stage 6, typically depicting a waterfall. So the important point to remember here is that everything happens in a sequence, that is one after the other. So like a real waterfall, this can also get really dangerous. And I'll take you through how it gets dangerous. Since everything is mapped out at the beginning, there is a lot of room for error, because unlike any other model, in this particular model, what is assumed that you know everything from day one. You have a clear-cut requirement understanding, you have a clear-cut sign-off, you know what tools to be used, you know what frameworks to be used, you know what is the kind of skill set to be deployed, you should know the exact time for which the resources would be deployed, and so on. So there is absolutely everything that you need to know at the start, and since everything is mapped out in the beginning, and a plan is prepared basis that, so there is no room to change. So even if things change in the real world scenario, this particular model might not be able to adapt to that particular change. And hence, I mentioned that things can become really dangerous. So assuming that, say, the requirement gathering didn't go well, because people have already started designing, and post that people have already started constructing, if there was certain change in say the requirement gathering or the requirement understanding, or say if the business owner failed to communicate one particular business need, it is very difficult now for the change to go and reconstruct and redo that change. So there is no going back to the previous stage once it's completed, correct? So assuming that, say, the requirement gathering phase is over and people have started working on the construction phase, and once the construction phase is over, people have started testing it. But if during the testing phase you figure out that, hey, there is certain change in the business gathering or the requirement understanding or the analysis, so then there is no room to again revisit. Again, revisiting that means doing the entire rework, which means your project timelines getting stretched. It also means that the cost structure that was earlier estimated would go haywire. So try this project methodology only and only if the end goal of your project is clearly defined. So as I said, if you know everything from day one, waterfall model is meant for you. The particular project where all the unknowns are actually known, you have a complete view on, say, the resources, the tools, the processes, the systems, more importantly, the business owners, their expectation. And if everything is known, then a waterfall model is the best model for a scenario like this. In case where stakeholders know exactly what they want, and that's where I said all the business requirements are clearly drafted, everyone has a clarity of thought what needs to be deployed. The project is consistent and is predictable. Things would not change. If it's static in nature, the requirements are well documented, the expectations are met, and you have, more importantly, a sign-off between both parties where things would not change, waterfall methodology is meant for situations like that. If you are working in a well-regulated industry that needs extensive product tracking or documentation, so in a regulated industry where things are not meant to change a lot, so what I mean is there are no dynamic changes and things are more static in nature, that's where a waterfall method will really work well. You might need to bring new people into the project midway through and get them up to speed quickly. So these are some of the places where waterfall methodology would really work well. Also, there could be certain potential pitfalls or certain areas where this particular methodology is not meant for you. If the project is liable to change, now this is really dangerous for the waterfall model. Again, imagine you are in the construction phase and say the requirement gathering or the requirement phase was not accurately captured. That means an absolute havoc in terms of the overall project timelines, the deliverables, and the cost, because you cannot revisit the stage. As stated, this is a sequential model. So before the next step is completed, the first step has to be cemented. If you don't have a full picture of the requirements before the start, if things are meant to change over time, things are uncertain, you don't have a clear business objectives from the business owners, etc., then waterfall model is not meant for situations like that. You need to do continuous testing or maybe adapt to feedback during the process, because waterfall model is more of a static model where things are not meant to change, and hence the reason that the feedback is not taken into account in this particular model, right? Although there could be a continuous dialogue, but that particular dialogue is limited only to that stage. Once that stage is crossed, there is no room to revisit that stage. Hence, places where there is continuous change, there is continuous feedback coming in, if things are more dynamic in nature, things are meant to change over time, it's a place where a waterfall model will not really work. So then what really works in those places? So we look at now the agile methodology. So agile, as the name suggests, it stands for agility. Agility, flexibility, adapting to a continuous changing business landscape. So the agile project methodology is a methodology that comes from a growing dissatisfaction with the linear approach or the traditional approach of project management methodology. So we spoke about the waterfall model, where everything follows like a waterfall and it's linear in nature, sequential in nature. If people are not comfortable with the approach like this, that's where agile framework really takes over. Limitation of traditional project management methodology that cannot adapt to change as the project progresses. That's where agile framework or agile methodology takes over. In case of waterfall model, because everything is meant to be static, everything is meant to remain the way it is during the entire project life cycle, there is no error or there is no room for things to improve or change. While in case of agile, it assumes that things are meant to change. And that is the reason why you need a more agile framework or a agile way of doing things. Thus, the focus began to shift from a more to a more iterative method or an iterative model that the teams are working on to revise their projects as needed, take into account the feedback loop during the entire process, rather than having to wait till the end, then review and then make those changes. So it's like doing things on the go. If there are any improvements, any changes, then things get added on, things get so it's like saying fail fast and change fast. So that's the whole motive behind agile methodology. The concept of agile project management has gone to inspire several specific sub frameworks, and we'll talk about that. We have things like Scrum, we have things like Kanban, Lean, etc., etc. But the whole idea at a high level is that agile is meant for changing dynamics or changing workplace, or it could be, say, incorporating the feedback in the real time, whereas waterfall model is more sequential, more static in nature, and it takes into account things that are not meant to change. The key principles of agile project methodology are, first, it's collaborative. Why collaborative? Because it takes into account the perspective of multiple different people. It takes into account the feedback, because people who have different perspective, who can have different changes. So assuming that there was one role where people have shifted roles, or there are people who left the organization and there are new people who came in, they might have a different frame of mind to implement things. And that's where it is more collaborative, because it takes into account their perspective. And because agile is more real time, it can incorporate their views, their feedback, their suggestion in the real time. Agile is more quick, because it is real time. The only thing is that people should be self-motivated to follow the agile methodology. Because it is so real time, so dynamic, it's actually quick to respond, and it's open to data-driven change. Now, what is this data-driven change? So assuming that you had factored certain inputs, and say these input parameters given by the business owners change over time. So then agile methodology takes into account how these changes need to be factored. And hence, it's open to data-driven change.